Welcome back to Upbeat Collage. I'm Gary Carnevale, here with a lively group of folks to talk about some of the issues that face the older members of the LGBT community here in Sonoma County. I'll have you each introduce yourself and tell us a bit about your background and work. We'll start with you, Buzz.
Sure. So I'm Buzz Hermes. I'm an LGBT aging consultant. And as Gary said earlier, I co-facilitate the Sonoma Valley LGBT Seniors Group. And the other two guests on this program are also part of that group. We meet the third Friday of every month at Vintage House, the senior center in Sonoma County. I'm also a former staff member with Spectrum, the Center for LGBT Concerns in Marin, that is now part of the SPAR Center. And I'm also working on a new project that I'll mention later in conjunction with Adult and Aging Services. So that's me.
Hi, I'm Robin. I'm 60 years old, and I work in the casino business and am connected to several LGBTQ groups here in the North Bay, and have been glad to have a connection with the Sonoma Seniors Group, participate in one group in Napa, and then a transgender-specific male-to-female group in Oakland that I participate on a weekly basis, which is very helpful. Have been out for about a year only, and really have had a great time having the wonderful connections here in the LGBT community in Northern California.
My name is Mayor Dickerson, and I'm blissfully retired. I was a teacher for all of my career and ended in Napa Court Community Schools. I serve as a CASA for a couple of kids in going through the court system. And I met the Sonoma LGBT group last February, and they have been an incredibly supportive and inclusive and lovely and warm and welcoming to me, and I totally depend on them.
Welcome, all of you. Great to have you here. We're having tonight's discussion and the other discussions that Outbeat Radio will present in the coming weeks and months because of the election of a man whose appointments are mostly hostile to the LGBT community. Again, let's go around the table and have each of you express your reaction to the presidential election and tell us how you think this new administration will affect seniors in general and LGBT seniors in particular. Buzz, we'll start with you.
Sure. Well, I'm sneaking up on age 78, so I grew up in the 40s and 50s, and as you know, that was an era when we could be incarcerated, we could be institutionalized, and we were also ostracized by our religious communities. So I've become very hypervigilant as a result of that, and this election is putting me into flashback mode. I'm really concerned about the conservative nature and some of the anti-LGBT comments I've been hearing. So, and also, I was a victim of bullying as a child, and this feels like we have a president-elect who is promoting bullying, which frightens the hell out of me, frankly. So that's how I'm reacting.
Mm. Robin.
Yes, I remember coming home the night of the election, and I was at a transgender meeting in Oakland, and everyone was pretty sure that the election was not going to go that way. And by the time I got home at 9 p.m., it was pretty assured as to what was going to happen. And I have to admit, I was very surprised at what the results were. And since then, I think I've kind of gone through a metamorphosis of what this will mean for me. I always try to have a perspective along the lines of transgender views. And so there is a lot of fear in the transgender community, a lot of fear about what medical help and psychological help that the transgender community has been receiving for about a year or two now, some related to California, some related to Obamacare, that might be taken away. So there's a lot of calls coming into health services about those kind of issues. And there's a lot of fear out there. And I've tried to stay away from the fear and give this kind of a chance to unfold. And as it has unfolded, I've found that I've started to have disturbing feelings about the people that President Trump is putting around him and the history and views that these people have. And it is starting to become more disturbing over time. And then the amount of things that have happened in the way of acts of not violence, but I've heard on the news several stories that are coming out about discrimination and prejudice since the election has happened, and those are disturbing also.
Mm-hmm. Mayor.
I remember watching James Carville on MSNBC and watching the newscasters turn kind of pasty and gray, and I didn't understand it yet, but clearly it was an unexpected result. I'm shocked, horrified, devastated for the increase in the hate crimes and what it might mean, particularly to those of us that have been out and confident in being out in education and being role models for gay and lesbian youth and transgender and questioning, and really seeing how far that population has come in the last many years, and feeling like we all now have to look to our personal safety again. And I mean, we're blessed to live in California or on any coast, but so many gay lesbian students still suffer, are still in the closet, are still attempting suicide, are still misunderstood, are still being disenfranchised is the wrong word, but thrown out of their families mm-hmm. and their communities mm-hmm. for being gay. And I see this as an incredible and horrific step backward in social equality. And frankly, personally, I kind of wanted to retire from social activism, you know, fine with sending checks and holding a sign on the plaza. But, you know, this demands a greater response from all of us and to really gird the proverbial loins and get out there again.
A call to action.
A call to hold the space and protect the space. And yeah.
Right, because we're not just talking about moving forward, but preserving what's already happened.
Yes.
You know, we're having these discussions because we know, like Robin mentioned, so many people are terrified. But the sort of lack of real information is sort of surprising. You know, we talk about the mainstream media and how they've approached this candidate. Both candidates really unfairly, some would say, you know, I guess people on both sides would say. But, you know, we have now a president-elect who has been accused of crimes. And again, like you mentioned, the utter shock of watching, and some of us, Robin, you mentioned you were with community. I was with my community at the time, and it was nice to be with the community even in that difficult period. But here we thought the first woman was going to be elected president, and it didn't happen. So, Mayor, tell us how you were feeling about that in particular.
Well, if you look at the popular vote, it did happen.
Right, of course.
And so there's an avenue of change. It's incredibly disheartening, particularly for all the advances we have made. And just to think of some of the horrific things that he's said, he's spoken, he's done, that are on tape, that are, you know, verified by his victims, and think that it's open season. It feels like, to me, it's open mm-hmm. season on women, on gay and lesbians, and we just have to be very thoughtful, careful, and alert to hold the ground.
Yes. Buzz, have you had a meeting since the election? Have you been to...
We did, and actually, poor Robin was scheduled to be our presenter at that meeting, and Robin had an accident on the way to the meeting. So what we did was to postpone that and focus on how people were feeling, and a lot of strong reactions. And I've been using the term for those of us who are older, that we are living under a triple threat. We have the threat that the public has in general, a lot of members of the public concerned about the environment and the economy and foreign policy and all those things that we have talked about lots and lots. But then on top of that, we're seniors. So then there's the threat to Medicare and the threat to possibly Social Security and privatization. And what about, you know, subsidized housing? Is that going to go away? Subsidized food? So there's another level. And then there's the third level, we're LGBT. And so what is that going to mean for us? And in thinking back over my lifetime, you know, I was born pre-war. So unfortunately, there's a tendency to lump homosexuals with whoever is being blamed at the moment, whatever minority is taking the flak. So in Nazi Germany, it was the Jews and the homosexuals. In the McCarthy area, it was the communists and the homosexuals. So now is it going to be the Muslims and the homosexuals? Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a lot of layers to this for those of us who are older and minority. And I just can't imagine what it's like to be Latino and gay or Muslim and gay. It's just unthinkable.
Yes. Robin, maybe delve into the transgender issues that have come up in meetings you've attended since the election.
Well, I did go to this just transgender-only meeting that I go to is just male-to-female transgenders through different stages of their transformation or transition. And there was a lot of tears shed, a lot of fear, and a lot of stubbornness saying that we need to fight back and we need to stick up for our rights. Being fairly new to coming out as a transgender person, I was aware of my condition from a very young age. And through fear, I just kept that a deep, deep secret on my own. So I kind of am about a year new to coming out and have really embraced our senior community that has so much experience with having all kinds of discrimination and prejudice and living through that and getting through it. So in putting that to a transgender perspective, I kind of feel like we are maybe the last bastion of civil rights that are coming in. And I used to kind of separate maybe some cultural discrimination or different ethnicities and the LGBT group. But I'm really finding that whether it be women or Black people's struggles, or as Buzz mentioned, the Muslims, everyone that has come along really has the same kind of issue, and it's a marginalized portion of society that's fighting for their rights just to live their life as they would like to. And so there is so much coming up for me in the way of what might happen. I don't know if it's the large cappuccino I brought in here or whether it's some of the things mentioned already, but it is a little overwhelming. And so as Buzz was talking, I was thinking of not just President Trump, but we also have a right-wing Republican Senate and House right now. And then when we get down to the appointments that might be made into the Supreme Court, it's like a quadruple whammy there of things that might be changed and could be changed fairly quickly. So in the transgender portion of our support group, there's a couple of federal employees in there that are worried that with just an announcement by President Trump, they could change their abilities to have their transition done. So there's one older girl that has decided that she has to go ahead with her surgeries right now and get those scheduled. Otherwise, in 2018, they might not be able to be done. And so it is really changing people's decisions. And I think that with a transgender transition, it can take a long time. Decisions that are reversible have to be made slowly and cautiously. And this is changing the way some people are making those decisions, which hopefully will work out all right. But I think that that's a direct effect that's immediately happening right now.
Mayor, maybe you could talk about this topic a bit. To me, it almost seems that this is a backlash against LGBT issues that have come forward, as well as Hillary Clinton's, in my view, most progressive campaign, you know, the most progressive campaign a presidential candidate has ever run, from women's rights to choose, mm-hmm. to healthcare, again, LGBT issues, across the board. Are you feeling this is some sort of backlash, that marriage equality, you know, all of these issues that we're dealing with, the transgender, the whole bathroom issue that's working its way through the courts?
Yeah, I do feel like it's a backlash. We've made a lot of progress in the last several years, and there's a portion of our society that's uncomfortable with who we are and change and movement, and not seeing that as a natural evolution. And the depths of our racism and our misogyny is amazing to me. And right now there's a sheriff back there somewhere defending an incident between a black man and a white man where the black man was killed. And he keeps saying, it's not racial. It's not racial. And he doesn't understand that everything pretty much is racial or hatred or fear of women or just the other, you know,
right.
whoever the people are now. I'm horrified at what's going to happen to women's rights to choose, where Trump says, well, marriage equality is a done deal, but women's rights to choose should go back to the courts. Mm. You know, why are white rich men still deciding what happens to a woman's uterus? I mean, it's ridiculous. And no other civilized country that I know of has that kind of patriarchal view of what I can do with my body. Mm. And we've fought this fight and we've done it again and again and again. And it's just amazing to me that we can continue to lose choice over our physicality. It's goofy.
Right. I mean, look at this proposed legislation in Ohio. Unbelievable.
Yes.
Unbelievable. We're talking about this in 2016, almost 2017.
Before most people before most women know they're actually pregnant, they're denied the right to make the choice. Yes. And did that not pass? I know it was proposed, but I understood it was passed.
Oh, and waiting for Kasich to sign it.
Yeah.
Sitting on
How's that going to go?
Wow. Not that I'm a big fan of that gentleman, but as far as the wing nuts go, he seems to be sort of on the more sane end of that spectrum.
Interesting concept, dividing
presently.
Up the wing nuts, as you say, and who's an approachable, who's not approachable, and who's to be seriously feared.
Right, right, right. Buzz, maybe you can talk about Mike Pence and these so-called religious freedom bills.
Well, to be honest, I'm avoiding some of the bad news. But I know, you know, that there's been an effort already made to allow businesses to not serve LGBT people. And fortunately, that was cut out of the appropriation bill. But it's obviously it's going to. There will be other attempts, and I know that Pence is in favor of conversion therapy,
that he
feels this is a lifestyle that we chose, apparently. So that's very scary. As an elder, I'm really concerned about our youth and how this will impact them and their sense of self-worth, their egos, their pride in who they are. If this rhetoric keeps up. So, yes, very, very concerned. The good news, I think, is that we are better connected now than ever before. I think we're on top of this. There's a Facebook page now called When We Dare, where you can log on and find out where rallies are being held and how we can connect with each other to support ourselves as LGBT people, but also other minorities. So that's encouraging. And we are resilient. You know, I think those of us who've been through this battle have learned how to fight back, but we've also learned to use our sense of humor and to support each other. And having been part of the AIDS pandemic and seeing how effectively we made ourselves heard eventually and how well we took care of each other is really encouraging. So that's giving me hope, I have to say. Even in my darkest moments, I sometimes have to remember that.
Certainly.
Yeah.
And there are some bright spots. We now have super majorities here in California, Democratic super majorities.
Yes.
And we enjoy some of the highest number of rights as LGBT folks here in California. A very nasty governor in North Carolina was finally defeated or finally conceded. A positive backlash to the so-called bathroom bill that he championed in his state, in which businesses really were opposed to, you know, the NBA, sports teams, performers saying, we won't perform there as long as this is the law. And we've got, and there's a new governor who says he wants to repeal that. So, Robin, maybe talk a bit about, like you were saying, almost the final frontier, these trans issues. I've always thought coming to light, where you have businesses such as Target saying, you know, we're not going to make this an issue. We're, you know, people may use the restroom that they feel most comfortable in, according to their gender identity. So talk about what this means for the trans community.
Well, it is bringing up a lot of emotion for me. So I've been using the women's bathroom for about 4 months now and been out full time except for work. And it's been an interesting experience, and it has been a totally positive experience for me here in California. But there's a nervousness and a apprehension about going in there and what's going to happen. I don't know if you'd mind if I share an experience of another trans girl that happened in San Francisco. I'm not sure if I should mention the hotel's name, but a well-known name, large nationwide hotel, and she was there for some type of conference and went to the bathroom, and there was only a maid in there, and she got a nasty look from the maid, but she went ahead and went in the stall and was doing her business, and all of a sudden there was a banging on the door, and a man was saying, "Get out of there. I want you out of there now." And she was very scared, and she didn't know what to do. And through that fear, I think that she kind of reacted, not the best way, but that's what she did, was kind of run out of there. And there was a security guard out the door. She went to the manager, and the manager was not thinking there was anything wrong with the treatment that she had gotten. And the guy that was banging on the door said something like, "Get out of there, you're a man." And this woman had gone through all her surgeries. She had her ID changed. She had her birth certificate. All her documents were in order. And that doesn't even really matter. But that can happen here in California also. So she went to the Human Rights Commission in San Francisco, and it's winding its way through the system there, and nothing has come out. And that happened, I'm pretty sure, after the election. So it's been a couple of weeks, I think, since then. And so disturbing things can happen here in California also, but I'm so just grateful to be here in California, where mostly it's a safe place. And my experiences have been very positive. I still have as yet to have a negative experience, except for about 20 years ago when I was outed at work and was really ostracized from the whole work community, and just overnight changed the change of treatment of me was amazing for me, how quickly that changed around for me. And basically, I could have stayed there and suffered. I ended up leaving a year or two after that and finding a new place of employment, hoping that word wouldn't travel along there and follow me wherever I went. Hmm. So I've experienced a little discrimination, but not much compared to some people have who have been out for a long period of time. This woman with the bathroom incident has been using the women's bathroom for 20 years, and she is a very confident, together woman, and this has really put a big, big fear and apprehension. You could just see it in her face, the poor girl. One incident can change all that around very quickly.
Mm. Mayor, talk about how older women are feeling. The oldest man to be elected president, and how he's sort of not at all attuned with senior issues, coming from this life of privilege. Literally living in a gilded tower with his third wife and blended family. I mean, what can we expect from a man like this?
You know, it takes us back to the day where women were arm candy. And that seems to be how he values women. And frankly, I'm appalled that his daughter doesn't say, "Do something with your hair, Dad," or, you know, come on, something. It marginalizes women. It puts them back into, you have to look a certain way, you have to be a certain way, and who you are physically is your most important asset, not your brain, not your physical abilities. It is appalling that people would ignore everything that came out in the campaign and still vote for him. So, you know, I'd like to think that this will be a 4-year blip and that we'll all come to our senses, or everybody else will come to their senses and we'll regain and regroup and move on, and it'll be seen as a horrific catastrophe. But every day the news is stranger and weirder and odder, and it's tempting to, you know, again, I'd like to lay on the couch and watch Netflix, but it seems like this is a time where we again need to come together, move on, show up, write the checks, do what we have to do to assure that we don't go too far backward. And I think President Obama addressed, you make progress and you ebb and you flow a little bit. And I am so appreciative of his intelligent discourse on this fashion. But geez, we're in for a long 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Sort of basic rights, and thinking that Medicare could be on the table, privatizing Medicare. Maybe each of you can talk about, what this means for, of course, seniors, but, you know, the demise of the Affordable Care Act, it's hard to imagine 20 million people being denied or, you know, being forced to change their health insurance plan.
It is, it's unthinkable. For me personally, I'm already paying close to $200 to supplement Medicare, so I just can't imagine having vouchers and as a cancer survivor having to run out of vouchers and then be out of pocket. I just can't imagine what that would be like. I wanted to just also, we're kind of in a bubble here in California. One of the ways I got a handle on why so many people did vote the way they did was to remember what it was like during the AIDS pandemic. And we didn't feel heard. We had a president who refused to say the word AIDS, and no one was paying attention. We resorted to some pretty drastic activist things to do to garner attention. And it was so frustrating not to be heard. So that was one way I bridged understanding the frustration of people in the so-called Rust Belt and others that are not feeling like anyone's paying attention to them. Mm. I just wanted to put that out there, that as upset as I am, I can also understand why this happened.
Other groups' frustration.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It's unfortunate that they overlooked a lot of the warning signs in their frustration, but
right.
I can understand it.
Oh, my gosh. I'd like to say something about insurance also.
Oh, please.
I'm just so grateful to have insurance. I've had insurance for about 5 years now and was without insurance for over 10 years before that. And just a horrible feeling not having any insurance. Mm-hmm. So when Obama came in 8 years ago, I was really following the insurance universal health care battle that went down, and was disappointed that that was not more properly addressed, because it seemed like the general consensus in the public was that universal health care was the most popular option. We didn't get that. And so Hillary was saying that was one small step towards universal health care. This could be a step back, but Medicare and Social Security, those are programs that are coming up for me. And they are some of the most popular and beneficial benefits that we have in this country. And taking care of our seniors, I don't think people remember what was happening before these came into place. When Social Security was not here, there was just old people on the streets. And when Medicare was not there, people couldn't afford any kind of the care that they needed to get their issues taken care of. So it really is very important to me with the transgender issue. When I started coming out and found out that some of these procedures are going to be taken care of, I was just amazed, because they never have been in the past. And it's a fairly new phenomenon, as far as I know, maybe 2 years old. And it can cost upwards of $150,000 or more to have the procedures done to make girls feel the way they should feel. A lot of people can't do that. So that's why a lot of transgender people end up in the sex worker business, on the street, doing things that are not beneficial to their psychological well-being. Bringing that into housing, that is one of the major issues in this transgender group, is trying to find a place to live. We have the Oakland fire that just happened. One of the major issues that I heard in the interviews of the people that either lived there or was around there is the horrible conditions that they were renting spaces to in that warehouse, and it was the only thing that they could afford. You add on to that the LGBT community, transgender specific, people don't want to rent. It's not that they say they don't want to rent to transgender people, but they know the code that, I'm sorry you didn't get the place, somebody else got it. They don't say it's because of a transgender issue, but that comes into play. I think if you're any kind of the marginalized society, whether it be Black, Latino, LGBT community, that there is discrimination under the table. And I think the disturbing part is that that seems to be coming more to the surface with this administration. I think it's people are feeling that it's okay to express that political uncorrectness in what they've been feeling, and have kind of harbored expressing that feeling. They're feeling that it's okay to come out and say those things. The discrimination was always there for some of these people, but they just have kept it kind of as a little secret, and now they're feeling like they can go ahead and express that, and kind of scary.
Mayor, I've attended city council meetings. I had a friend who just attended a meeting in Sebastopol, who spoke about affordable housing. And, you know, of course, the real estate agents show up and the landlords show up en masse, and they have this kind of kooky argument. I mean, I've actually read these op-eds, and you think, wow, how do they make this sound beneficial to everyone? It's sort of amazing that we in this county have yet to really face affordable housing. And we are surrounded by brand new condos here at KRCB, brand new apartments that go for $2,000 for a one-bedroom apartment. They won't even look at your application unless each person living there is making $40,000 a year. You know, I wonder what people do. And like Robin was saying, a huge issue. You know, people were in this unsafe space because it was their only option. It seems I see more and more homeless people on the streets every day. I mean, I live in Sonoma, and I see homeless people all over in parks, on the streets, in parking lots.
And in Sonoma, we had to fight to get 5 spaces for cars to park for the homeless campers. Mm-hmm. In Sonoma and Glen Ellen in particular, and Kenwood, we're seeing the rise of the VRBO and the tourist industry is incredible, to the detriment of providing houses for the people that are actually servicing the tourism area. It's incredible to me that we have such a multi-layered classes society where some people have the big bucks and some people scrape by, and we can't seem to care for everybody, and then we spend $1 million taking out non-indigenous trees, or, you know, whatever the expense is. It's just absurd to me that things are $1 billion, and housing, a roof, a toilet should be a human right, healthcare a human right. And until we reorder our society to see what the needs of everyone are, everyone is, and assure that we get some basic needs met for everyone, not just white. I don't even know where to go with this, except to continue to work together on a community level. And Glen Ellen is currently organizing itself into some little teams that want to do various things and work on what's happening at the state hospital still and what's happening with the VRBOs. And as you said, owners of VRBOs are heavy and thick in those meetings because they're making sure they get to stay.
And they're mobilized and they're organized.
Yes. And they've got money. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd like to jump in on that, too, because for quite a few years I worked in subsidized housing for low-income seniors. So one of the concerns I have is that a lot of these housing developments are religious organizations. So if they are giving the opportunity to discriminate, they might. They could. And also, a lot of the housing that is available for low-income seniors, I watch people come in. The waiting list is 3 to 5 years often, and even longer for Section 8 vouchers. So if you're homeless, you're going to be living in your car for 3 to 5 years. And I can't tell you how many people came in desperate, saying, oh, there must be something. And we had to say, no, I'm really sorry. There's nothing. Mm. You may have worked all your life as a teacher and given a lot to our culture, but I'm sorry, there's no room at the inn for you. It's really sad, very sad for me.
We're just about the end of our discussion. So maybe once again, I'll have each of you, we'll start with you, Mayor. Talk about how you personally are going to move forward through what will be probably a very difficult 4 years for our community.
Well, I'm going to expand my networking with groups that I'm involved with, whether it's Planned Parenthood or National Organization of Women or the Sonoma Gay and Lesbian Group, Transgender Questioning We just have to reach out. We have to support ourselves together. And I think those of us that have reached a specific age have lived through a lot of eras. And this is another era. And when we might feel like it's the time of our life to be relaxing and enjoying and traveling, no, pretty much it's the time to get out those signs again and write those checks and march the marches and talk to youth and reach out. Reach out and try to be, try to become what we want to see. Be more kind, be more gracious, be more charming, and foster relationships that are going to make a difference. Because as we all know, when you know a gay or lesbian or a senior or whatever, and you build those relationships, they turn into caring and knowledgeable and advocacy relationships.
Mm-hmm. Robin.
I've done a lot of thinking about this as to how to respond to an election like this and to a situation that hasn't quite developed or happened yet. And I'm coming from the place that I want to start at a grassroots level, talking to people one-on-one, and spread my views. I'm a big believer in talking to one person. That person talks to two people, and your views are expanded when you talk to like-minded people. But I really don't think that's enough. And so I think that from my perspective, I'm going to continue doing that and be very watchful as to what's happening. I, being pretty new out in the community, have not gone through any community-wide disturbance of the good place that we have here. So I want to be ready to be an activist if need be. One of the girls in our support group handed out safety pins. I hadn't heard about that before, but it was wearing a safety pin. And it's to let people know that you are a safe person. And if anybody is being discriminated against, you are there to protect them from whatever discrimination they might face. And so she handed out a bunch of safety pins, big 4-inch safety pins. She didn't want to miss those. So I think that we can do a lot in our little community here and talking to other people, whoever will listen, and share our views and make sure our voices are heard. And whatever that's going to take, I've really been watching a lot of what the civil rights movement was like, which started, 1865, everything's done. 1965, 100 years later, people are still fighting for their basic rights that they had. And that continues in today, 50 years later. We may have to have that kind of fight in the LGBT community also, that we just don't give up and keep fighting for our rights. I see a lot of similarities there where I didn't before I came out. And so it's very beneficial to see other people's struggles.
Mm-hmm. Buzz.
Just to piggyback on, thank you, Robin, for reminding me that about the safety pin. The other symbolism of the safety pin for me is that it brings together something that's been torn apart. And I forgot to wear mine today, but I have it usually on. There's part of me that just wants to run away. I fall victim to doom and gloom, and I become paralyzed, or I fantasize about Canada or Costa Rica or something. But when I'm not in those moods, I remember that I live in California. I live in Sonoma County. I am so blessed to not have to suffer what some of the people in other parts of the country are experiencing. Mm-hmm. I do have some good news I'd like to share.
Please.
And that's speaking of living in Sonoma County, which is quite I believe I read somewhere in the index and the Santa Rosa paper that we have the second largest population of LGBT people in the United States. And the county is doing a lot, and some of the listeners may know there is a LGBTQI giving circle in Sonoma County composed of LGBTQI. Q in this case means queer for young people who have reclaimed that, and the I is for intersex. That giving circle is composed of over 100 people that are committed to giving $500 a month. And then they each have a say in how that money gets allocated through the Community Foundation of Sonoma County. So last year, Adult and Aging Services, which is part of our County Human Services Department, received a grant. And my colleague from former colleague from Spectrum, Nancy Flaxman, and I contracted with the county to do some work increasing their outreach to LGBT seniors. Well, again, this year we got another grant. So we're excited that we'll be working with senior centers, and Nancy will be providing cultural competency training for the staff to make sure they're sensitive and welcoming, and then I will come in and help them develop some LGBT-specific programming for seniors in our community. So, you know, we hope to have at least three community centers as demonstration models that the others can then emulate down the road. And the great part is that those senior centers are becoming go-to places. If you need something like help with your end-of-life planning, or you need some help with your taxes, or you need some help getting benefits, that's where you go. So you don't have to go to all the way to Santa Rosa if you live out in Bodega or Sonoma, or you know, where it's not easy for a lot of people. So anyway, that's I'm really encouraged by that. And so when I get into the doom and gloom, I remember where I live and how far we are going as in our progressive county and leading the way for a lot of other communities throughout the country. So I'm very excited to report that.
That's great. Yeah. That's great. And I should also mention that Buzz writes a monthly column for GaySonoma.com, Aging Gayfully, with some great information, some great insights about what it's like to be an LGBT senior. Buzz, tell us how folks can find groups here in Sonoma County for seniors.
Well, for again, some good news. For the first time ever in the senior resource guide that is put out by the county, where there's a whole couple pages of resources. Some are local, some are national. But if you contact a national number, sometimes they can refer you back to a local contact. We need lots more, of course. But so far we have two discussion groups going on in the county. We have the one in Sonoma Valley that meets at the Vintage House, and then there's also one that meets at the Glasser Center that is on the fourth Tuesday, I believe. I'm thinking 1:30 to 3:30, I think. It's listed in the resource guide. And then we're hoping we have a transgender clinic that meets in Santa Rosa. Do you know Rob?
No, I don't.
Okay. So there's that, and there's several others in there. And of course, there's Spectrum is now part of the SPAR Center, but their website lists meetings throughout Sonoma County. So it's another go-to place.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I'd like to remind people
Please.
That every Friday in Sonoma, there's a vigil on the plaza with like-minded people that have been standing there with signs protesting a variety of things since 9/11, from 5 to 6. So there's signs there. Mm-hmm. Bring your own and network with a new group.
And then you can enjoy the beautiful lights afterwards.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, I want to thank you all for joining us, Mayor, Robin, Buzz. Great chatting with you all.
Yeah.
All right. Bye-bye. Good night, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.